So I went to dinner the other night with a couple of nursing friends. We went to Redwood City, another garbage-ass town. The traffic was horrendous, and I was stuck on surface streets in some, like Google headquarters area. I was just sitting in traffic, looking around at all these lame, unimpressive, uninteresting buildings and people. It's like, you guys got fucking tons of money, but you're making our lives so much worse. And yes, there's a lot of traffic in L.A., but at least you might run into something interesting, like, you know, even whatever, some interesting building or something from a movie or some iconic freeway sign even. I mean, it's just, you might even see Warren Beatty in fucking traffic or something. You ain't gonna see shit up here. But anyway, sorry, I digress. So anyway, on this episode, I'm just gonna put a bow on advertising and also talk about some comic books and some comic movies and some other stuff.
You are my density.
So yeah, to sum it up, advertising in the end, it's just not like a serious person's business. And don't get me wrong, I mean, if I would have stayed in advertising if the wheels hadn't have fallen off, I mean, I'd still be cutting fucking toy commercials. It was cushy, it was fun, but at the end of the day, it was also just kind of a bit of a silly career, just kind of, you know, putting these stupid 30-second commercials together. And I honestly just kind of floated through life, to be honest. It's like, you know, after I went to film school, got a job randomly in editing, and not necessarily didn't want to become an editor, but then I just kept going and kept moving up the ladder and just kind of skated through life. But at one point, I completely had to do some kind of career life change. And I mean, I was kind of forced to do it in a way. I mean, not really, but I mean, I saw some like editors freelancing, and they were like in their 50s and they're struggling. And I'm like, fuck me. I like flash forward and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, you know, be fucking 50 something. And then the wheels fall off and it's like, oh shit, now what? So I actually showed some balls for once and decided to make a change. And I went to nursing school, and I've only been doing it for about 4 years. And sometimes or oftentimes I'm like at work at the psych unit, and I'm just like, what the hell am I doing here? I mean, I almost feel like I'm acting as a nurse. You know, I used to be a bit of an actor, well, very small bit of an actor. But yeah, it's kind of like that old commercial that no one remembers. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. But yeah, anyway, nursing, psych nursing is all the nursing jobs. I mean, they're fucking real grown-up jobs, let me tell you that. I mean, you're dealing with some darkness and just people at their lowest, and sometimes life and death stuff, not so much with psych, but the other, the other specialties and whatnot. But, yeah. So, during the day I help lost people, and at night I'm lost, but it is taxing as shit, to be honest. And I'm hoping I can, switch it up when I get back to LA and do something else or something to do with nursing. That's a little bit more mellow. But yeah, there's kind of a cool Blur song about kind of a named Tracy Jacks about a guy who's kind of starting to lose it. Maybe he needs a change. I'm really stretching on this song reference, but I like it. So anyway, so let me sing a little bit of that Tracy Jacks with a bad accent for you. Tracy Jacks, but he's getting past 40. Tracy Jacks, and all the seams are splitting. Every day he got closer. He knew in his heart he was over. I'd love to stay here and be normal, but it's just so overrated. Being normal is overrated. Anyway, a quick couple of advertising things before we put that to rest. I forgot, I edited a Star Wars kind of Pizza Hut Taco Bell toy commercial with the Taco Bell dog was in it. And we had to mix it at Skywalker Ranch, Skywalker Sound up at Skywalker Ranch in Marin Valley. That was kind of awesome. I mean, it was kind of silly that we had to mix the spot there. It was a stupid fucking spot. A bunch of movie footage and then a fucking some toys and a dog or some shit. It totally would have been easy to mix anywhere else. But, you know, just because it was Star Wars and Star Wars effects, we had to do it up at Skywalker Sound, which was neat. You know, got to fly up there. And there was all this Star Wars memorabilia all over the place. And it was just kind of a iconic or idyllic and iconic looking place. It was like a kid's dream come true. And speaking of Star Wars, one other thing, I cut a Batman toy commercial once, and Mark Hamill was actually the voiceover for it. And he came to the sound session, super energetic, very personable guy, you know, gave us some autographs, he knew he was a celebrity, and he fucking ran with it and was cool about it, not some, you know, weird asshole that doesn't want you to talk to them. It's like, fucker, you're in the movies. That's what you sign up for. You get too big, you get too popular, that's on you. I mean, you're going to get fucking recognized. Deal with it or fucking go move somewhere else. Mark Hamill famously had a car wreck after Star Wars, and he visibly looked a bit different. Still was like a good looking dude, but definitely had a tweaked look, kind of a la, you know, Montgomery Clift with his pre and post accident appearance, and also Jennifer Grey, famously in Dirty Dancing. She got, you know, probably the most famous nose job in history, kind of lost her little cuteness and honestly kind of tanked her career. And I remember Donald Sutherland used to come to this same sound studio that we recorded the spot at, and people said he was kind of a dick, and I trusted those people. So in my book, Donald Sutherland's a dick. One last quick fucking advertising thing. I cut this documentary about a school in Compton for some advertisement guy. I cut the fucking thing, but for no money, and it turned out pretty good. But anyway, it was playing at the Seattle Film Festival, so I flew myself up there to see it in person. I actually went with Charlie, my buddy, up there. And after the movie, during the Q&A, the director took some questions, and at the end there, he didn't thank me for going. It was like, how fucking classless. I cut this fucking thing for free. I fly up here and you don't even fucking thank me? I mean, how self-absorbed are you? I mean, I am self-absorbed as shit. But I also think about others and I try to be gracious and whatnot when I can, when I'm not talking about myself. You know, I'll throw in like, how are you doing? But anyway, I am sure I will mention advertising at some point again. I mean, it was 15 or so years of my life, but for now, let's move on. So the other day in Sunnyvale, I was sitting in my shitty apartment. I was losing it. I was really bored and just thinking about things all the time, like I always do. And, it was kind of too early to drink, and I didn't feel like getting stoned, and I'm like, fuck it, I have to get out of my apartment. You know what? I'm just going to start walking. And, so that's what I did. I walked around past a dollar store and a CVS, and then I saw a comic book store kind of in the distance, and I was like, I was like, fuck it, let's go into a comic book store. And it was a cool little spot, and those kind of stores, those kind of like niche stores, they're so cool because it's like, obviously they're run by someone who has a passion for something. They're probably not making a ton of money, but you just got to love it when someone is like, you know, the work they do is what they also are like passionate about. You know, it just, you know, there's just something kind of inspirational about that, you know, when you have an obsession for whatever it is. And speaking of obsession is, it's a cool 1976 kind of ultra Alfred Hitchcock style thriller by my man Brian De Palma with Cliff Robertson, Genevieve Bujold, and the De Palma staple John Lithgow. It's got major shades of Hitchcock's Vertigo. This guy's wife disappears or gets kidnapped and he thinks he sees her and blah, blah, blah. It's interesting, kind of silly, kind of shot in kind of an old school way. Not one of his masterpieces, but I'll watch any De Palma almost. But anyway, I did decide to buy a couple old ass comics for like $1 a piece. I think some kind of Karate Master one and a Silver Surfer comic. I walked around and there's this little water area with ducks and shit, and I sat on a fucking bench and read these two comics, looked at the ducks and stuff. It was actually kind of enjoyable, kind of flashback to my childhood a little bit, the comics, not so much the ducks. But yeah, the thing I used to love in old 1980s comics and shit was the little weird advertisements. Like one of the issues I had an ad for like a detective how-to course, which would have been catnip for me as a kid. And one ad, which I don't even understand, honestly, it said 17 different triangles for 25 cents. It was like, what, like printed out triangles or who wants 17 different triangles? What the fuck are you going to do with them? And then there was an ad for an anti-gravity device, which I probably would have picked up when I was a kid. Picked up gravity. There's a joke in there somewhere. And I wasn't like a huge comic book guy, but I had a period where I was, you know, pretty into them. I remember I had some older ones and also a bunch of Star Wars toys. And I think I brought the comics to, like, you know, get their worth at one time. Went to some comic book store in Northern California, and he's like, these aren't mint. You know, they're not worth very much. And it's like, yeah, I fucking looked at them and enjoyed them. It's like, you know, the people that, like, buy comics or toys and immediately lock them up, like, pristine in their box, untouched, they're fucking weirdos, okay? So, yeah. But I've kept all my comics and a lot of my toys. It's just, like, a nice memory of a simpler time. I'm sure I'll keep that shit till I croak. And I remember me and my buddy Tim from junior high. He was from South Africa. Very cool dude. I had an issue of Marvel's Power Man and Iron Fist. And there was an extended long-ass fight between two characters. And me and Tim kind of learned the choreography of the fight, start to finish. And we performed it for his mom. I remember it seemed pretty good to me. I mean, the fuck do I know? But yeah, that was kind of shit I did back when I was a kid. And funny, I saw an article on the creator of the book series Frog and Toad Are Friends. Man, I loved those books. Yeah, they were written by this guy, Arnold Lobel. But yeah, man, it was just about these, well, frog and a toad. And they were just total buddies. They were like simple stories of them, like, being cool to each other or just helping them out or through hard times and stuff. And I remember one of the stories was about these cookies that one of them ate. I also used to love Mercer Mayer's animated books way back in the day, and I got his autograph at some bookstore once. I'm sure I still have the book. But yeah, back to comics and superheroes. Yeah, there are millions of superhero movies today, but they all bore me. It's like they're all so fucking long, and you need to have an instruction sheet to figure out, you know, all the intertwining characters and the weird Easter eggs from, oh, that's from issue number 2 of Ultra Dick. So yeah, it just gets tiring. And then all the post-credit scenes, it's like, okay, yeah, post-credit scenes were cool, like, maybe 15 years ago. Will you guys give it a rest? Just put the fucking scenes in the normal movie so when the credits start, I can get up and leave and we all can fucking go home, okay? It's like, it's almost like encores for bands. No one likes that shit. Just stop it. Play all your songs and then fucking wave, and then we wave and we go home and you go home. Don't you want to get out of here? Do you want to fucking sit here with a bunch of fans and stuff? We you know, we've heard your music. We don't need to wait for you to come back out after encore. Just fucking play it all. Anyway, that being said, though, there are a few superhero movies I kind of like, or just, you know, are kind of dear to me. Sam Raimi is one of my absolute favorite directors, just a witty, talented pro, makes super entertaining movies. I mean, Evil Dead and The Amazing Evil Dead 2, which is just kind of a redo of Evil Dead. Army of Darkness is also fun. I kind of like Drag Me to Hell 2 and so many others. But he did Darkman in 1990 with Liam Neeson as a scientist who becomes a superhero and gets revenge. Frances McDormand is in it. It's kind of great. It's silly. Sam Raimi just knows how to make well-shot, entertaining movies. And Darkman actually inspired a comic book version of it by Marvel. Usually the comic is first and then the movie. But this one was reversed. And then the classic bomb from 1986, I actually saw at the theater and I kind of liked it, Howard the Duck, which actually started off as a comic book. Yeah, directed by Willard Hoyk. Leah Thompson was in it from Back to the Future, Jeffrey Jones from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Tim Robbins from Tim Robbins fame. Yeah, I don't know. It's about this kind of clever extraterrestrial duck that comes from some other fucking planet and lands on here, and you know, he just needs to figure shit out, and he kind of falls in love with Leah Thompson. And I don't know, man, it was ambitious. I will have to check it out again. I haven't watched it in a long ass time. But another one that's just legit amazing is Logan from 2017, directed by the great James Mangold. I bring this movie up every 2 days. Sometimes to the same people. It's like, they're like, okay, you told us, shut up. But this is the goddamn perfect superhero movie. I mean, you don't need to know a lot of bullshit. There's not a bunch of weird tie-ins to other superhero movies. It's just a great goddamn standalone movie. It has this old Western kind of revenge vibe where Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, is trying to hang it up, but he comes across this girl who needs help and he helps her fight this gang of villains. One of the lead villains is the great Boyd Holbrook. I mean, just the first 10 minutes of this are so awesome. I rewatched those, that part, you know, all the fucking time. These guys are kind of fucking with Hugh Jackman, who's a limo driver, and he's kind of drunk and just kind of, you know, just wants to be left alone, and they're fucking with the wrong guy. And finally his, you know, fucking claws come out and he just goes to town. But yeah, it's rated R, which is awesome for Wolverine violence. It's like, yes. But yeah, the opening is great. There's so many. The whole damn movie is great. There's another great scene in Vegas where, like, Hugh Jackman is, like, you know, he's the only guy that kind of can move in this, like, you know, I think Xavier is, like, doing some kind of mind control bullshit thing where the world is kind of frozen, and Wolverine's able to, like, walk through it. And there's these guys, like, standing there with guns, like, frozen. And he just, like, slowly, coolly, just, like, whoosh, sticks his fucking claws through their head. Oh my God, it's such a great effect. And the movie actually even kind of tells you, it's a kind of a spinoff of the 1953 Western Shane, directed by the pro George Stevens, with Alan Ladd and Brandon DeWilde, and the villainous Jack Palance. We're approaching burnout. Great movie, though. Great Western. And Alan Ladd has to protect this kid, and it's a classic. And it's funny. Actually, Alan Ladd was a pretty short guy, and I heard they made the doorway smaller to make him look kind of more imposing. Yes, the movies lie to us. And also, they make everyone look so good, too, with makeup and all that stuff. Sometimes you'll see this person in person, and you'll be like, oh, good. What the hell's going on there? You know, the movies are a false, obviously, depiction of people, and that's why people can get lost in the movie look. It's like, that's all fake. Come on. But anyway, the kid in Shane was Brandon DeWilde, and he actually died young at age 30. He was doing a play in Colorado, and he crashed his car and died. So rest in peace. And just quickly back to Boyd Holbrook, the villain in Logan. He's also in this kind of amazing Netflix sci-fi movie called In the Shadow of the Moon from 2019, directed by the kind of awesome Jim Mickle, who also did Cold in July. Which I kind of love, with Sam Shepard and Don Johnson, and that dude from Dexter, C. Michael Hall or C. Thomas Howell, Michael C. Hall, I think that's it. But yeah, In the Shadow of the Moon is kind of corny, but kind of ambitious, time travel-y, kind of got kind of a Terminator vibe. But I do remember it totally coming together, and I recommend it to a lot of people. I mean, Boyd Holbrook, his name is so fucking hard to say, Boyd Holbrook, has a slighter, like, old school vibe to him, and I totally love that shit. I used to love the corny TV series The Greatest American Hero around 1981. Yes, this is one of the shows I wrote to, and I got an autograph from William Catt, our hero, the cool Robert Culp, and Connie Selica. But William Catt plays like a nerdy teacher who gets some power from extraterrestrials or some shit. As a kid, I used to love the theme song. I mean, it's a corny song, but I'll play a little bit of it. It's called Believe It or Not. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. And kind of a corny but very entertaining under-the-radar superhero movie is Martin Davison's Hero at Large from 1980 with the late John Ritter, Ann Archer, super young Kevin Bacon briefly, and the fucking one-of-a-kind-looking TV host Burt Convy. Burt fucking Convy. But yeah, John Ritter is super likable in this movie. He's a really good actor in it, but it's like, it's very heartfelt. There's just some great fucking scenes in it. But anyway, he's like this kind of somewhat struggling actor who kind of is playing like a superhero to promote a movie. And then he starts like actually going out in the public in his costume and tries to like fight crime. It's enjoyable. It's goofy. It's definitely kind of a time capsule, but it's rentable, and I think it's entertaining. I watched it last night. What'd you do last night? You probably didn't do that. Nobody fucking did that last night. Possibly no one watched Hero at Large last night. This is very possible. But I did. And briefly mentioning the great Sam Raimi again, he directed the first Spider-Man in 2002 with Tobey Maguire. He's decent enough in this. I'm not a big Tobey Maguire fan. William Dafoe is the villain. It's got the kind of sleazeball James Franco in it, but it's fun. It's not like a ton of fucking CGI at this point. There's some practical stuff, but more importantly, it's enjoyable. And it has that comic book style, a little tongue-in-cheek, and just a real kind of fun, entertaining movie. It's not fucking dark. It's not super moody. It's got that fun element. A lot of these movies these days, they're literally like watching a video game because of all the animation and CGI. I mean, who gives a shit? I would rather watch the old corny TV show The Amazing Spider-Man, 1977 to 1979, with Nicholas Hammond as our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It's got the most lamest practical effects ever, and it's goofy and earnest. And again, there's probably like 8 or 9 people in the world that would enjoy watching that fucking TV show. But yeah, put myself on that list, okay? And you can add yourself if you are so inclined. And of course, Tim Burton's Batman from 1989 with Michael Keaton as our hero and Jack Nicholson as the Joker and the classic Kim Basinger's in it. It's kind of old school, but it's fun and silly at times and very comic booky vibe, but not all dark and serious with the life drained out of it like The Dark Knight. These current movies, they're so, I don't fucking know, man. But I love Michael Keaton and I'll never forget Jack Nicholson's immortal line. This town needs an enema. Okay, let's end this short but hopefully sweet episode with a couple of quotes. How about a motivational quote for my buddy Superman? Yes, he's my personal friend. He once said to me, "It's never as bad as it seems. You're much stronger than you think you are. Trust me." He didn't tell it to me, but he told it to us. And one quick joke, I think it's a tweaked Woody Allen joke, or Woody Allen tweaked the joke originally or whatever. But anyway, man comes in to see a psychiatrist and he says, "Doc, you got to help me. My wife thinks she's a chicken." The doctor says, "Well, how long has she had this condition?" The guy says, 3 years. The doc says, "Well, why did it take you so long to come and see me?" The man says, "Well, we needed the eggs."